This morning is our infant dedication, and I just want to say about that. Let's go to Deuteronomy. Let's look at the text. And this is where we're going to kind of end this morning. Deuteronomy chapter 6. It is the last book of the Pentateuch. Right? The last book of the Pentateuch. We're going to read verse number 4 and end at verse number 9. I'm just so excited about what I saw this morning. God, the singing, the worship, this is an experience here. God is in this place. Say amen if you believe he's in this place. Oh, God. Hear, O Israel, the Lord is our God. The Lord is one. In other words, Shema. Shema. Yisrael. Adonai. Eloheinu. Adonai. Echad. This is what the Jews called the Shema. They recited it every day. They recited it twice a day, and they said it in Hebrew. I'm not up here speaking gibberish, but it was embedded in their culture, and we'll understand something about that in a moment. And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your might. And these words which I am commanding you today shall be on your heart. Watch this. And you shall teach them diligently to your sons, and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, and when you walk by the way, and when you lie down, and when you rise up. And you shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontals on your forehead. And you shall write them on the doorpost of your house and on your gates. I want to talk about the impact of dedication. Nothing fancy. Children are the most vulnerable people in the world today. They get a fresh start with personality, and we need to understand something about personality. Let me define personality. Personality is a combination of temperament and a collection of habits, responses, and ways of thinking a person uses to navigate through life. And one of the things that affects our personality as we're coming and growing up, some of the things that affect our personality, and I'm not talking about character, I'm talking about personality, is our environment. Environments affect personality, which means what you come up around affects personality. But not only environments, but culture affects personality. Experiences, interactions with other personalities affects and shape our personality. As a matter of fact, research suggests that by the first grade, a child's personality is fully established, and it will do nothing but develop on the same path it's been established in by the first grade. This means by first grade, that child's environment, that child's culture, other personalities in that child's life would have already made the contribution to their personality to where by the time they get in the first grade, they have their own established personality, which is a conglomeration of their culture, a conglomeration of their environment, a conglomeration of the people around them and the other personalities around them or the other spirits around them. Thus, children are vulnerable. And they are vulnerable to the point where they need to be prayed for. I don't care if they're not old enough to put a sentence together. They need to be prayed for no other reason than the fact that they are extremely vulnerable. Children are vulnerable, number one, because of exposure. In other words, children are exposed to so much. And in that exposure, they don't just leave what they're exposed to where it is. They soak it up as a sponge. And because everything that they're exposed to, they catch. Their immune system is just not weak physically, but their mental immunity and their spiritual immunity and their psychological immunity, it has not fully developed. And so everything they're exposed to, they are affected by. Children are vulnerable because they are impressionable. They hadn't been here long enough to develop their own habits, to develop their own quirks, to develop their own sayings, to develop their own personalities, to develop that thing that they always say. As a matter of fact, they don't get that until they receive an impression by the personalities around them. There are some things that you and I say right now that we got, that we didn't get and develop on our own. We got from the personalities that were around us as we were coming up. Some of those things we should be proud of, and some of those things not so proud of. Children are vulnerable because they are defenseless. They can't protect themselves. And I'm not talking about teens, and I'm not talking about junior high school kids, because some teachers need protection from them. But I'm talking about babies. I'm talking about one-year-olds. I'm talking about two-year-olds. They're defenseless. And on top of that being defenseless, they are senseless. And it's a dangerous combination to be both senseless and defenseless. It means that they can't even ascertain and don't even have the wherewithal to even realize when they are in danger. So we immediately teach our children and build in our children a psychological defense with little sayings like stranger danger. But even within that, we live in a world where the danger just doesn't come from the stranger. And this is why children need to be prayed for. Children, the Bible says in Psalms 127 and verse number 3, are a blessing from the Lord. But just as any blessing can be corrupted and contaminated and polluted to the point where what started out a blessing ends up a curse, so can children be done the same way. Let's look at Matthew, and we're going to end with our text, but look at Matthew chapter 12. Verse number 43 through 45, and I'm going to show you that children are on hell's most wanted list. And I'll explain to you why. Matthew chapter 12, begin reading with verse number 43. What does the Bible say?
When an impure spirit comes out of a person.
When an impure spirit comes out of a person, and we talked about this some time ago when we dealt with demons don't knock, but some of you were not here, and some of you perhaps don't remember. But Jesus tells this somewhat of a parable. He says, when an impure spirit goes out of a man, it what?
It goes through a
ridge. It passes through waterless places, seeking rest. and does not find it. Read.
Then it says, I will return to the house.
Then that spirit. Now, what this place, this house is, the house is the individual. The house is the person. The house is the personality. The house is the character, the soul, spirit, and body of the person. And when an impure spirit leaves out of a person, it looks and it ends up among waterless places finding life, looking for life, but findeth none, because there's an association between water and life. Any place that has no water has no life. There are certain deserts where you can't find one inkling of life because there is no water. The idea is that the impure spirit is looking for somewhere where he can develop, where he can grow, where he can be hosted, but he does not find it. So guess what the impure spirit does? It goes back to the person. And what does the text say?
When it arrives.
When it gets back to the person.
It finds the house unoccupied.
He finds the house unoccupied.
Swept clean and put in order.
That is the description of what children are. Children are unoccupied. They have not yet been burdened with all of the vicissitudes of life and all of the hustle and bustle of life. They're not worried about bills. They're not worried about who's talking about them. They're not even worried about getting to the bathroom when they got to use it. They don't care who thinks what of them. They're not worried or concerned about upcoming tests and physicals. When they go to the doctor, you just take them to the doctor. There's not a care in the world. They haven't yet developed problems and chips on their shoulders about certain people. They don't look at people and get offended because of how they look. Their mind is not bombarded with all of the bombardments that we as adults are bombarded with. Their mind and personalities are clear. Their minds and personalities are swept. Their minds and personalities are clean. But look at what this spirit does. He comes in and he sees all of this clearness, all of this cleanness, all of this purity, all of this void. And it says what?
Then it goes out. And then he goes and takes with it seven other spirits more.
He says, because this place is so empty, I will find seven other spirits more worse than I am. Do you see this? Now, we looked at this before and we talked about adults. But who are the most innocent, clear, swept, garnished, and clean personalities in society? It's children. So when the devil comes at a child, he comes at a child different than he comes at an adult. There's not enough room for him to have his full way with some of us. But if he can get children who are clear of mind, who have not been polluted, who do not have the bombardments in their mind, he can bring seven other spirits worse than himself. Thus, our addictions and bad habits most of the time don't start when we're adults. They start when we're children. And sometimes those seven other spirits don't come as when. They come as people and personalities, because people have spirits. So someone comes around your child with a personality or a spirit of hatefulness. And because children are impressionable, and because children are sponges, and because children are affected by what they're exposed to, when these spirits or personalities come around them, when that uncle comes around who's always drunk, when that cousin comes around who's sexually addicted, When that other personality, that grandma or that grandpa or that sister or brother or older sibling comes around and they're always talking about people, we don't develop this by osmosis. These spirits inhabit bodies and they come around those who are the most clear, swept, garnished of minds and the ones that are the most impressionable in society. Children. If the devil can get you as a child, he can use you as an adult. Oh, let me say that again. If you're supposed to post this, if the devil can get you as a child, he can use you as an adult. By the time you're an adult, he's not hunting you, you're working for him. So children need to be prayed for. So what does the Bible say? How do we counter that? Because you can't keep personalities away from your children. You cannot. Now, as they're infants and babies, we can protect them and pray over them, but we can't keep personalities from them. Because one of the personalities that sometimes they may not even need to be around is our own. We very careful physiologically with babies and infants, and we want to make sure that everybody washes their hands before you deal with my baby. I don't pass my baby to just anybody. I don't let anybody deal with my baby. No. You can touch him. No, don't put your hand in his face. But what you're not on guard for you're on guard for all of the germs that lay on the surface of our skin. But what about the germs that are in the air? What about the germs that they're exposed to through our personalities? Some of you learned to cuss so well. By spirit. No? Wrong church? Some of you will learn addictions because you were exposed to them. Don't you get it? It's not just, I walked in. It's not just, I saw my parents. No, it's so much bigger than that. When you see in the flesh, that's all you see. But if you see in the spirit, you know that this is just not about the physical. We don't wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers and spiritual wickedness in high places. The devil is at work in the invisible realm. So when somebody comes along and puts a post about Mountain View and says they're praying for babies, babies don't need prayer, that is preposterous. That is a spirit.
Amen.
The spirit of somebody that probably should have been prayed for as a child. So how do we counter that? Proverbian writer says in Proverbs chapter 22, verse number 6, because immediately when our child is born, there are forces trying to get at our children. And I'm not talking about in grade school. I'm talking about as infants. Look at the physical manifestation of it in Scripture. Watch this. The testator of the old covenant and the testator of the new covenant were both hunted at birth. Moses was hunted to be killed as a baby. You don't remember Pharaoh when he heard that Moses, the deliverer, the next prince of Egypt, was born? What did he do? He had all the kids, all the baby boys killed. The testator of the first covenant. Then the testator of the second covenant comes along, and his name is Emmanuel. King Herod, the king, finds out that there's a king born, and what does he do? Tries to have all of them killed, because there's something about killing a seed before it becomes a bulb, and something about killing a bulb before it becomes a bush, and something about killing a bush before it becomes a tree. We don't get it. We miss
missing it if we think that the best protection they can have is a sturdy crib. Proverbs 22:6 says, train up a child. In the what?
Way he should go.
Oh, yeah, you know that. In the way he should go. Now watch this. A child. Now watch how that's an investment for the future. And what? When he is older. You don't start working on them. You don't start praying for them when they're older. If you start then, you've started too late. And there are plenty of parents that are having the hardest time and having to watch and pray and cry and solicit prayers from other people because the devil is ravishing their children. Well, my question to you is, how important were the things of God in your life when they were children? Talk to parents every now and then who say, my kid said he really wanted to come to church, but nobody, parent or child, don't show up. When you ignore that, you're ignoring the warning. The mind is swept. It's clear he wants something now that the devil will try to ensure he'll never want again. He wants something now. He desires something now that the devil will commit himself to not. He will commit himself to taking that appetite and snatching it away from that child. And when you forsake your child and you forsake bringing your child to the environment that really help him be what God wants him to be, and later he becomes a monster, then you have to ask yourself, what did I contribute to this Frankenstein? Okay. Not only that, but look what the Bible says in Ephesians 6:2. Ephesians 6:2, and we're almost done this morning.
Honor your father and mother.
Let's read verse 1.
Children, obey your parents.
Children, obey your parents.
In the Lord.
In the Lord.
For this is right.
For this is right.
Honor your father.
Honor your father.
And mother.
And your mother.
Which is the first commandment with a promise.
Read.
So that it may be well with you.
Well with you.
And that you may live long.
Now investments for later returns. And then what does he say? Read.
On the earth. Fathers.
Watch this.
Do not
this provoke. Is how you counter what the devil's trying to do. Fathers,
do not provoke your children to anger.
Don't provoke your children to wrath. Read.
But bring them up in
bring
the discipline.
Bring them up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. Do you think it's an accident or a mistake that churches have fewer and fewer men as days go on? Where are the fathers? Where are the Christian fathers? How do we counter this? Bring them up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. Our text in Deuteronomy is the Shema. Everybody say Shema. Jewish people adhere to this. They recited this twice a day. And when we look at scripture, we're looking at a community of people. We would be considered Gentiles. Okay? It is not even part of our culture to recite the Shema twice a day. The closest we came to this kind of commitment, and some of you may not remember this, and I can't believe I'm saying that because I was 24 when I got here. But some of y'all don't know about that. The closest thing we had to that was whenever we would come around the table to eat dinner. Some of us remember Mama saying, everybody, Mama, Daddy, Mommy and Daddy saying, everybody say a scriptural verse before you eat. Say amen if you remember that time. Let's show our hands. You see, this is fewer and fewer. But there's some of us, when we came around the table to eat, everybody, before they dug into whatever was prepared before them, before they picked up their fork and their spoon, they would have to quote a Bible verse before going and digging in to eat. My favorite one was Jesus wept. And I'm about to if I don't get to this food. Scripture, the word of God, was embedded in the homes, so much so. As a matter of fact, people like Drake weren't household. It wasn't just household names like Parliament and Funkadelics. There were household names like Billy Washington and J.S. Winston and Aaron Hogan. In other words, there were a collection of heroes that were picked from secular, but there were equally a collection of heroes that were picked from spiritual. So you had the influence going on inside the home where there were two sides, opposing sides, and one kept the other side regulated and kept it in check and kept it neutralized. But now in many of our homes, the only thing you hear is the secular things. Church doesn't make it past Sunday. And when church doesn't make it past Sunday, you give the devil 6 days with your children. When church doesn't make it past Sunday, you give him 6 days to put stuff in their head, to put stuff in their head that they will retain. Don't you know it's a war to get your children while they can be got so that they can be recruited? So we counter that by doing what was done in the Shema. They recited this twice a day. They practiced it. It wasn't just said, it was practice. They recited this Shema. They practiced it. The parents practiced it. They taught it to their children. They committed it. They were committed to it generationally. This means it wasn't just their children. It was their children's children. God said, pass it down. Pass it down from your children to your children's children to your children's children. Granted, some of you come to church right now because you had a grandma that would come religiously. And when she got too old to drive herself and you got grown enough to drive, you better not do nothing on Sunday before you took her to church first, because she was that committed to it. It didn't catch on with you right away, but now you're older, it catches on. And now it is the influence of what was impressed upon you. But I'm afraid there's a generation coming up who don't have that and are not leaving that kind of impression on their children. We're saying so many other things are important. Now, I know the millennials and this millennial generation says, yeah, I don't want to go to church. I just want to be spiritual. Let me tell you something. That's like saying, I don't want to go to school. I just want to be educational. It doesn't fly then. Why? Because school provides an environment that contributes to your mental growth. Don't you know the saints, the church, is an environment of influence? And when you deprive them from that environment of influence, you best believe the devil has so many other environments of influence to steer their hearts. Oh, I know you don't like this. I know it tastes like castor oil. May not taste good, but it is good. Not only did they recite this, but look at what the text says as we bring the plane down for a descent. It says, you shall teach them, verse number 7, diligently to your sons. Now watch this. And shall talk to them. Talk to them when you sit in your house. First of all, you can't. Talking to them when you sit in your house. That family environment was one where people sat together at home. Watch how the devil did. The devil ushered in the age of entertainment. And before these cell phones and things, it was televisions. And when we were financially inept and disabled, we only had one TV.
Right.
And it was in one room. So when there was entertainment going on, everybody got entertained together. And every moment was a teachable moment. Because that's what this is talking about. Teach it to them when you sit down with them. Seize the teachable moments. Don't let a teachable moment go by. As a matter of fact, it was so frustrating because we didn't have the remote controls. We were the remote control. Oh, y'all don't know about that. Some of y'all don't know. All you know is HDTV. I'll bless your heart. But TVs back then had a knob. And if daddy ate too much and mama was tired from cooking and sitting on the couch, they'd look over at us and we got to the point where we look at each other to figure out who's going to be the remote control now. But we were all together. Come on in this house. And don't let the knob break. We take that pair of pliers. So now we had two jobs. We'd had to find the pliers, get the pliers, and turn. Oh, y'all know. You know we didn't grow up in Beverly Hills. You know what that is. So we weren't unhealthy because watching TV was a teachable exercise moment. And don't let the antenna be broke. Oh, I'm talking to somebody up in here. Signal right, not right. Dad, look over. Here we go. We were together, which meant if something came on TV that all of us couldn't watch, then none of us watched it. The devil had less access, but time changed. And I'm not saying we need to go back to that, because I ain't going back to that. I sit down, press a button. But every now and then, I'll call one of them, one of our babies, because the remote control is on the other couch. Jayla, Jordy. Yeah, Dad, you had homework? No? Oh, okay. I'm a bad preacher. I got off. I didn't get back on this subject. But this text shows that they took advantage of teachable moments. They taught them when they were by the way. Look at what it says. Talk to them when you sit down in your house, and when you walk by the way, and when you lie down, and when you rise up. The morning time was a teachable moment. They were being taught of God over and over and over and over again. Kind of like we teach some of our children about sports. It was God. Community facilitates exposure. And exposure shapes and influences direction and destiny. You coming to church? No, I'm tired. It's raining. You're teaching your children priorities. Because the same children see you go to work and take them to school on rainy Monday. We don't get it. Some of us really don't get it. But we don't get it because they're small and they're just toddlers. They're just beginning to understand. And we treat them like we treat our finances. We wait till the rainy day to get a job. You don't wait till the rainy day to get a job. You don't wait till the rainy day comes to save your money. You save it before the rainy day. As a matter of fact, you build for the rainy day. Which means you teach your children now before they have to go to a school of other kids that don't know the Lord, that may be from this place and that place and have this going on. So you cannot isolate them, so you have to immediately begin insulating them. It's not what's going on out here that's going to keep them. It's what you put in here. You put the right thing in here, they can be in any environment and won't become a product of their environment. As a matter of fact, if there's enough Jesus in them and it's strong enough in them, they'll change their environment. But you can't wait. You have to utilize and take advantage of teachable moments here at the church. We take advantage of teachable moments when all that mess was going on. See, we behave in ways, and we don't even realize we're being watched. Young people singing in worship service. They shouldn't even be doing that in worship service. In earshot of one of the young people singing in worship service. Would you rather them be getting high after? Some of us need to grow up. Well, let me tell you what this is not that's about to happen. And I'm done. What this is not, it's not infant baptism. Why? Because baptism is for believers. He that believeth and is baptized. Baptism are for those capable of repenting of sin, not those who don't even know what sin is. So we are not baptizing babies. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
This is not infant baptism. What else is this not? This is not a magical, mystical formula. We're not going to pray for your children, and all of a sudden at 2 years old, they're going to know 5 languages. There's no magical, mystical formula. We're not going to sprinkle pixie dust on them. We're not going to do any kind of incantation. What this is covering them in prayer. Remember, they're defenseless, and we're going to pray that God protects them, even if it means that God protects them from you. How many of you know that every now and then our children need protection from us? Y'all not gonna be honest up in here. When mommy and daddy ain't got their business straight, and mommy and daddy are focused on mommy and daddy and going at each other's throat, God needs to protect our children from us. And that's what we're praying about. It's not a superstitious chant. And what it is not, is it's not disconnected from parental responsibility. This doesn't mean, well, you pray for them now they should do right. You have a part in this. You have a responsibility in this. You can't drop your kids off at church and think the church is going to fix them. That's not how it works. You are the parent.
Turn to somebody and say, you the parent. Now, if you're not a parent, then that didn't apply to you. But I want to put a plug in for our youth department and our youth minister and our youth director. It is not their job to teach your kids some manners. What in the world have we come to? And it's not your job to immediately take the side of the child. Oh, I'm about to get in trouble now. I know I'm about to get in trouble. I know we live in a crazy world, but you go batting for your child and somebody might bust out a video that shows your child to be the liar and you'll look like a fool in front of them. Understand that children need to stay in children's place, and if we don't start respecting adults in their presence, they're going to disrespect us in adults' presence. Some of us will fight for our kids. No, that's not my kid. I was teaching this week, and one little boy hauled off, and he was in trouble. And I sat down next to him, and I said, why are you in trouble? He said, it wasn't my fault. It wasn't me. They thought I was talking. They thought I was doing this, but it wasn't me. So I said, okay. Well, a few moments later, him and another kid were playing around, and the kid who said it wasn't me, and because I asked him, I said, do your parents know? And I said, yeah, my mama said she's going to come up here and deal with them. That's what he said. Just a few minutes later, they're playing and riffraff. All of a sudden, the boy who said it wasn't me hauled off and slapped fire out of that boy. Right in front of my face. But his mama is coming up to the school to check the teacher. You see how we, what that is? It's a spirit. It's a spirit that we introduce to children that says, no, you don't have to respect adults. I'm going to protect you from having to respect adults. Then they go their whole lives with this spirit in them. And then when it becomes a problem, you scratch your head and wonder where it came from. It came when they were empty and swept and garnished, and you introduce 7 other spirits. Worse than the one that was flirting with them. So this is not that. What this is, finally, this is a call to parental commitment to God. This ain't really for the kids. This is for the parents. I know I said that wrong. This ain't for the kids. This isn't really for the children. This is for the parents. An uncommitted parent can't produce a child committed to God. Well, Jesus said it like this. You shall know a tree by the fruit it bears. Now watch this. We think we know the fruit by the tree it comes from. Jesus didn't say it like that. You know something about the parent by looking at the fruit. -Jesus. # not my words. It's a call to praying God's protection on your child. And it's intercession for the future. Your child is already on his way, on her way to where they're going. Their personality is being shaped and developed. And so now, with that being said, I'm going to call Brother Justin Carter, and we appreciate your patience this morning. And we expect you to stay in the house of the Lord until this is complete. Because our children are worth it.